Hi. Welcome to Bye Bye Bye. I'm Imogen.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Claire.
And we're back.
And we're going to start today's show with a moment of silence for the Opportunity Rover.
Okay. Was that long enough?
Yeah, I think so. Okay, we did two. A double gun salute. Anyway.
I cried this morning.
I was just about to start laughing, so I couldn't stay silent anymore.
I know. My husband was like, wow, you've really grown attached to this. I'm like, I know that I'm projecting feelings onto this non-sentient object.
Look, this is the way that we'll survive the robot uprising, because all the people that actually care enough about robots will be spared.
All the people who cried this morning. I cried, and I was like, what's wrong? I was like, opportunity's dead.
We were going to sleep last night, and I was reading a news clip about it, and my husband leans over, and he's like, it's getting dark. It's like, I hate you so much.
My batteries are low.
And it's getting dark.
Oh. Poor bastard.
Yeah.
You did a good job.
You did a good job. So, like, get out there and be like opportunity, exceed expectations, and live like a bajillion times longer than you were supposed to.
Yeah.
I think I already have.
I know I have based on the shit I used to get into.
Oh, man.
All right.
And we're recording on Galentine's Day, unless you're Miri, in which case you're recording not on Galentine's Day.
No, it's Valentine's Day today here.
No, I'm saying it's Galentine's Day here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So happy Galentine's Day. Galentine's
we're
Day.
Sharing our, you know, all our galley goodness.
Yes.
So I tried to get all of you Leslie Knope themed Galentine's Day cards, and the online vendor who shall remain nameless for some reason won't let me check out when I buy things there now.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it says I have a typo in my name, and I can only imagine that it's the hyphen in my what everybody calls my double barrel name. And the funny thing, like, I can't take the hyphen out because it's on the card, and I can't, like, just add a space. It has to be exactly what's on the card, so either it tells me that I'm using an unauthorized character or it doesn't match my card. So then I emailed their help, and they haven't gotten back to me.
Well, obviously they don't want your money badly enough.
They don't want my money badly enough. So I guess I'll just order all of my cards from Claire's Redbubble.
Speaking of Claire's Redbubble, go to Claire's Redbubble and buy all the merchandise you can possibly put into a online shipping box, whatever that is.
I've updated it, so there's a section specifically for podcast stuff.
Yeah.
Including, you can get new Justice merch if you want a very angry looking cat all over everything.
I am so getting a travel mug with Justice's face on it.
Like, I love the mugs just for you. I was like, I took some things out to save you from yourself. Like the pillows. I was like, I cannot imagine her resisting those pillows.
I wouldn't be able to, because, like, already in my head, I'm like, oh my god, a picture of Justice laying on the Justice pillow.
I know, I was literally imagining you taking a picture of Justice sitting next to the Justice pillow so they not both be looking.
Making the same face.
Yeah. And so I was just like, unclick.
Well, thank you.
But it's super easy to add things back, so you never know. Maybe not.
I'm making a list of things. I'm like, okay, I need Claire to add this back and this back and this back.
Oh my god, the skirt was the funniest thing, and it was so hard for me to take it away because it's just like, it's a fairly short skirt, so it would just be Justice's fucking angry face right on your crotch.
I mean, it's a pussy skirt.
I know, that's why it was so hard for me to take it off. I was like, this is amazing.
It's terrible. Oh god, no. Anyway,
I feel a little like John Mulaney, like with us praising justice so much. I'm like, how dare you? How dare you clap for that monster? She is a monster.
She's your
cat.
Well,
that's why she looks evil in the picture.
No, she is my husband's cat.
Like,
oh,
is she?
Oh, yeah, I'm not even lying. Like, she will accept my affection if I'm all that's available. Or if I'm lying down. Because then she gets to sit on my neck. Not my chest, not anywhere reasonable, on my neck. And lick my face. But the rest of the time, like, as soon as my husband comes in, she, like, will sit and stare at or jump up on his computer chair so that he'll sit down. And then she hops up and she, like, wedges herself in between his leg and belly and then, like, nuzzles her face against his stomach, and that's where she stays. So it's very cute. And I was like, that cat is spoiled rotten. And he says to me, he's like, well, let's talk about Freddy. And of course I had to get like outraged. I'm like, what do you mean, let's talk about Freddy? That cat is not spoiled. Do not take the name of Freddy Mercury in vain. Anyway, speaking of John Mulaney, Closet in Canada sends us this. My wife is a bitch and I love her so much. The appeal of John Mulaney.
It's funny because I saw John Mulaney in GIFs on Tumblr long before I actually heard him do any routines at all. And the one that finally tipped me over into watching him was The Horse in a Hospital.
Well, see, with... two-thirds and, of John Mulaney is like his delivery, you know?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, but yeah, because I was reading, I was like just looking at photos of him going, who's that, as he would have said, who's that weird tall child? he is actually visually very appealing. I mean, despite the fact, please, if John Mulaney ever listens to this podcast, I think he's a very handsome dude, but he has these tiny eyes, and I know everyone gets, they're just so small and so far spaced apart. Like, he looks a bit like an alien, and I'm wondering if maybe he is.
Like a tall child.
And maybe that's part of the appeal. But I think the biggest thing that's appealing about him is just that he's actually a decent human being.
He's a decent human being, you know? And, what?
I know, it's so hard. It does not compute.
I think he's also, like, I don't want to say non-threatening. That doesn't sound right. But
I know what you mean, though.
Yeah,
honestly,
but
when
we're talking about examples of toxic masculinity and stuff, I think John Mulaney is a good example of non-toxic masculinity.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I think he would argue that there's no masculinity there at all. it's funny because I was listening to another podcast, a British podcast, The Bugle, which is great if you ever. But it is very British centric. And they were talking about that Gillette ad, the best a man can get, where they were, you know, basically telling men that they don't have to beat up people and be abusive. And how, funnily enough, every man in the world got offended by that.
Yeah.
But they were talking about how
it was a very nice way to figure out who was an awful person.
Yeah.
It sure made life easier.
Yes. Made my block list. Very easy to increase on Twitter. But, yeah, they were saying that they don't think that they're masculine at all. And that's this is a very roundabout way of me asking, you know, what is masculinity then? I mean, for me, masculinity and toxic masculinity go hand in hand. It's very difficult to find non-toxic masculinity because everything that guys think is masculine is toxic. So,
yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I want people to...
I mean, I think there's things that are fine that are stereotypically considered masculine, like being outdoorsy or, I don't know.
Fixing stuff.
Yeah, like, there's stuff that's completely fine.
Fishing?
Like the stereotypical.
Yeah, my husband like, does yeah. none of that.
my husband's very fixy. He fixes things, so that makes sense. But yeah, but I don't know
what is masculinity. You guys gotta tell us on Twitter. Get on there.
Yeah, tell us what masculinity is, because I don't know, and I don't think that
we want to know the non-toxic kind, in case that wasn't clear.
There's like good things, like being strong is considered masculine. I mean, even if they're stupid and not like true, like these are things that are stereotypically considered masculine that are fine in their own.
Yeah,
like
we want your Gillette razor version definition of masculinity. We want to know.
The good, and while Gillette's in there, they can sponsor us. But yeah, I don't think I would never ever hold up John Mulaney as someone who was masculine, but that's possibly because I only have negative connotations.
Yeah,
for masculinity.
No, I think so.
We need some positive ones.
Yeah, I think he is. I think Andy Samberg is another example of non-toxic masculinity.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen.
But again,
I mean, I've seen people hold up like Steve Rogers as.
Yeah. That works.
Well, why stop there? Go straight non-toxic. To Chris Evans.
Well, yeah. I'm just
saying, like, aren't they one in the same?
Either one as...
Oh my god, not to interrupt with another thought, but I saw photos of Chris Evans in Washington, D.C. Now, I don't know what he's doing on Capitol Hill, but I endorse it.
Is he about to announce his candidacy? I mean, President...
No, please, God, no. No more celebrity presidents. No more.
Yeah.
No, President Cap in the Ultimates was a fucking disaster, so please don't do it. Steve Rogers in Ultimates was a fucking disaster. Ultimates was a fucking disaster. Let's just trash Ultimates as a comic series right now. It sucks. The only good thing that came out of it was Miles Morales.
Miles Morales.
I'm glad it's over. Anyway, yes. Chris Evans, whilst I would love him to be actually Captain America... Just put on the suit, dude. Just do it. You don't want to. He's so close to doing it. He's so close. He's going to nick the suit from the set of Infinity War, come back and just start being Captain America full time.
Yeah, the real reason. That's why the real reason he's leaving. Like,
yes, he's not doing any more movies because he's actually going to be Captain America.
Don't get my hopes up, guys. That's just mean at this point.
Yeah. He's still free for dreaming. He's still single for what I understand.
No one can take him from your dreams.
No.
No, I was.
He
I was
to be a baby daddy.
I was willing to concede him to Jenny Slate. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, they were a good match.
Yeah, they were.
But, yeah.
Very cute. So we got a. Yeah, on the day that the Opportunity Rover has been pronounced dead, my vacuum little brother has also. Departed us.
Oh no.
Yeah. He quit this morning. So
too much cat hair.
Vomit, right? Too much cat vomit. It's the funniest thing. I took some videos because it's hilarious. It just started like going in circles.
Oh. Maybe it was maybe it's in mourning. Maybe you just need to put it in a cupboard for a couple of days. So you can get over Opportunity's death. Maybe they were friends.
Well, we've already replaced that butthole, so
move on fast.
There's a new Roomba sitting in the box. In the
you've got an you know it's going to be an evil Roomba, don't you? You know it's the next model. The next model up is always the evil one. Look at it's like RoboCop and Terminator. The next model up is always the worst.
Well,
you've got to be careful of that one.
This one apparently learns.
Oh shit!
Right.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Next week when the podcast is just me and Claire, you'll all know what happened.
You'll know what happened.
I didn't ghost.
No, the Roomba ate her.
The Roomba knocked me down the stairs.
For one, will welcome our new robot overlord who can take over her spot on the podcast.
Roomba, where did Brandon go? She fell.
Oh, no. You can't prove anything.
Oh,
I'm an example of non-toxic robustity.
Is that a word? Robustity? Robustity? I like that. I don't know. It is now. I like that.
Roboticism?
Roboticism. It sounds like a porn genre.
I was going to say it sounds like a classics genre. Like,
I'm pretty sure roboticism is the word. It's not my fault if your brain is in the gutter.
My brain is always in the gutter. I don't know
except
why.
For when
that's
it's
a surprise.
Not like that picture, and you were the only one who didn't see a dick right away.
Was it? I thought she was
the
first one to see.
I was the first one to see the dick. I didn't see the boobs.
No.
Imogen thought that it was holding a dick between boobs.
Yes, I didn't. Yes, I didn't. Not a dick between hands.
Yeah, I didn't see the boobs.
Maybe because the boobs were extraordinarily floppy. So maybe, maybe,
I mean,
maybe you just
so
maybe
are
you
mine.
Just had higher standards. I mean, you just had higher standards. I mean, boobs that you want to look at, not boobs that you have. You know.
Okay, that's fair.
That makes sense.
Oh.
Anyway, I'll have to post. I have to post a link to that photo now.
Yeah.
On Patreon.
So now you have to.
What we're talking about.
Now you have to.
I'll put it on the.
Yeah.
We had to put it on the Twitter actually. Actually, put it on the Twitter and see. And give,
okay. Yeah, what do you see?
Oh, somebody. What do you see?
Somebody
remind
me.
Do you see two old faces or a vase
or a young woman in a shawl?
Oh, God.
Oh, Closet in Canada writes to us with a recap. She says, kitchen implements that are owned but rarely used is her food processor.
We have never once used our fucking food processor. We got it because we needed it so much because so many so many recipes would be like, and then put it in your food processor. And then we it's still sitting in its box.
I wrote these notes on the day that I bought a new food processor. So it was like just coincidental. I have a mini one though because I don't think I need the huge one. But
so what we have one.
Uh-huh.
And my mum used to use it to make pastry. And she was very good at making pastry.
Yeah.
Shortcrust pastry. So I got one and I've never we very 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 rarely use it, and the only actually I haven't used it in the 10 years since we moved into this house, so there you go. We've got a handheld mixer, one of those ones that's like
an immersion blender. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. That's the only thing I ever need to use. I never use the food presser. I use that for everything.
My immersion blender had a food processor attachment, like you just stuck the motor in the top and turned it on, and that was all I ever needed. And then not to name any names, but Baby Vi lost the blade.
Oh.
So
well, let's hope it doesn't turn up somewhere. Maybe
if it
maybe
does,
your robot
if it
ate
does,
it,
I have an extra.
The robot ate it.
Yeah,
the robot ate it, and that's why it's done.
I use mine all the time, like all the time. Like I make pesto and sauces and everything. Like I literally use it all the time.
Oh yeah, they're super useful. We just literally have never used. We bought it because we're like, this will be so useful.
Never yeah, used. I have a big what with an interrobang next to this question or this statement from Closet in Canada, because how do you not use your food processor?
What's like, the one? What's the one? That, what's the cult one that my sister has? The one that makes you part of a cult? Oh, Thermomix.
The what?
Have you ever heard of a Thermomix?
Nope.
No. What? Now
oh
I
my god!
I want to join a kitchen implement cult. Come on now.
It's definitely a cult. It's like the offshoot of Tupperware. Like, yeah, Tupperware people move on to Thermomixes when they've got more money than sense. And it's a combination food processor stove, basically. It's a small and you put like
how do you mix those? Like how do you
you put stuff in it and it can heat it as well as mix it up.
Ew.
So you can make mashed potatoes in it, for example. You just put the potatoes in and a bit of water, and then a mashed potato comes out 20 minutes later. And
what?
I actually don't quite understand how it works. My sister's got one, and I know a couple of other people who've got one as well. It's like the sort of thing you want if you entertain, which I don't. I actively discourage people from coming to my house.
Yeah.
Because
entertain, do you mean like set the thing on the table so that all your friends can watch you use it? Because that's what I'm imagining right now. Like I can't think of a reason to use that. I mean, soup?
When you invite people over for nibblies and drinks and things like that, and you've got like a, apparently that's something that high class people do.
Nibblies.
So yeah.
All your rich
actually, friends. We went to a friend's house and they had a Thermomix and they were doing like dips and stuff. It's all weird. Anyway, it's nice. The stuff that comes out is good, but you can buy it all at the shop, so why would you bother? I mean, I can buy baba ganoush and hummus at the shop. I don't need to make my own.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to make hummus on my own.
See, I don't want to make pesto, so there's another reason I haven't used it.
And then while we were out replacing the robot, we were looking at Instapots, so I'm about to make...
What's an Instapot? That sounds like something you can smoke.
Oh, speaking of cultish kitchen implements, it's like a crock pot and a pressure cooker combined. Like it does like 25,000 different things all at the same time. And it's kind of nifty. It's like a rice cooker and a crock pot and all this stuff. And for me, the appeal is that if we get one, I can get rid of my rice cooker and my crock pot, which we use a lot, you know. And
so you can have one implement instead of two.
One implement instead of two. And it also, like the one we're looking at, it's not an Instapot. It's another brand, and it has an air fryer in it as well.
An air fryer?
An air fryer. It fries your food with hot air instead of oil.
Yeah, it's a whole big thing right now.
Sounds desperately dull. Why would you do that?
Healthier fried food.
The whole point of frying stuff is to make it unhealthy. Why would you put it in? You need more oil. That's what frying is. Frying is oil.
Move to America. You will not be disappointed.
I gotta say, I loved the food in America when I was there. It was just like, you know, this food is specifically catering to my need for grease, salt, and fat. I'm enjoying it in every way.
Oh, yeah.
So we had another temporal distortion.
Yeah.
There.
I slipped way out of time, guys.
Way out of the time stream. I have no idea what we were talking about.
We were talking about sandwiches.
We were talking about sandwiches.
Yeah. And I was saying that like I had Hawaii just introduced me to the idea. We've talked about this before on the podcast, but Hawaii was the first place I've ever had a sandwich that was made out of a croissant.
Oh, croissant sandwiches are so good. Yeah. I just had one an English muffin, so like my day has been made.
Yeah, English muffin, they do that for like, that was weird when McDonald's first started doing back breakfast here, and you know, bacon and egg McMuffins and stuff like that, and I was just like, that's so weird. But
yeah,
now,
see,
of course, I love
English muffins are my breakfast version of tortillas.
Yeah, exactly.
Just throw whatever on an English muffin and it's breakfast.
I mean, don't discount the noble tortilla for breakfast food.
Oh yeah, I mean, I still do that too, but sometimes I have
but,
one and not the other.
Yeah.
Sometimes I need something heartier to hold up to whatever I'm slapping.
Yeah. Oh, you know what?
I have had
English muffin loaf. Like, it's a whole loaf of bread made out of English muffin.
Nice.
And it's so good. It makes the best toast. Like,
oh,
like,
that sounds really
good.
That
would be awesome.
Like, get the fuck out of here with your sourdough English muffin bread. Anyway.
Yeah, I was, did you have cinnamon toast over there? Like, do you understand what the concept of cinnamon toast is?
Yeah. We've got cinnamon toast.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put sugar on, you put and cinnamon, and you melt it. It works really well on a tortilla.
Yeah, we don't call it like fairy bread or anything weird like that.
No, fairy bread is different.
It's got jimmies on it. I know.
It's butter and hundreds of thousands. What's jimmies?
Sprinkles.
Jimmies.
Sprinkles.
Yes, sprinkles. Yeah, hundreds. We call those hundreds and thousands. I don't know why, but that's what we call them. So that's what fairy
bread
is. Butter and hundreds and thousands.
Of course you do.
Has to be really cheap white bread too. It can't be good bread. It can't be brown bread. That's gross. It has to be cheap white fluffy bread. The cheapest you can find.
Yeah, when you do shit like that, it's got to be like that 99-cent a loaf Wonder Bread.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my favorite bread.
Pure sugar.
Of course.
Pure sugar and happiness. Okay. So did we have a topic today?
We did have a topic today, and it was today's topic was
on this our 30th episode.
On this our 30th episode, yeah, we're getting it all in there now. the symbiote that is pop culture.
Okay.
Yeah, because the next question that came in from Closet in Canada actually is Kingdom Hearts. What is this? And I figured, like, we've got the next 20 minutes of recording covered.
No, only if
I mean,
the next
if we want to have two of us being like,
No.
I feel that's how this goes a lot, though. Like, I just ramble on, and you guys are like,
I think no one will tell Brandon. Did the rambling?
No one will tell Brandon to shut up.
I can tell you to shut up if you want, if that's your kink.
My kink is being listened to.
Oh, is it?
I don't know.
Shit, that's unrealistic.
Fine, then we'll be like, shut up.
Unrealistic.
Now talk some more.
Unrealistic.
There you go.
Find a reasonable kink. Like being choked. Yeah, Kingdom Hearts. It's literally impossible to explain. I mean, I could go into long. I mean, actually, we have a friend called Rosie who's very into Kingdom Hearts, and I was regularly texting her during this latest game, saying, "Who the fuck are all these people in this game?" Because I don't remember any of them, because they were in a game that wasn't on the PlayStation, funnily enough.
So
Kingdom Hearts is one of those games that crosses platforms, and if you haven't played every single one in the series, then you have no fucking idea what's going on in a game.
I feel like it's one of those games that it's one of those situations where it's best described. Like, someone who's never played this, describe it to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which would mean... Well, it's basically a Final Fantasy game set in the Disney universe.
That's exactly what I was going to call it. I was like, it looks like Final Fantasy played in a Disney world. So
that's right. Yeah, you've taken a Final Fantasy character, Sora, and put him into every single Disney film ever, and then rewritten the Disney film around Sora, which is hilarious because apparently in the first game, they visit Alice in Wonderland's world. They visit Wonderland, and so for some obscure reason, Alice is there, you know, chasing the white rabbit, and so is Sora, this Final Fantasy character. And there was this great post on Tumblr from a kid saying, "Where the fuck's," because he'd just gone to school and been forced to watch the original Alice in Wonderland cartoon movie, which came out in 1960 or something. And he's come home from school going, "I went and saw Alice in Wonderland at school. It was rubbish. Sora wasn't in it. What
the fuck is Sora?" Has this kid never watched a single Disney movie then? Because, like, he's in for a big surprise.
Yeah, there's no Sora in them. Yeah, I suspect this kid had never watched a Disney movie. Like, my kids have never watched Disney. Like, they've watched the ones that came out recently, the ones where you had to go to the movies to see them. But they're not going to go back and watch the old ones because they're dumb now.
Where do you... I was just talking about this with someone the other day. Where do you make the cutoff of old Disney versus new Disney?
Well, when the ones that have come out in the movies while my kids have been alive are new Disney movies.
Oh, you don't have you don't have like a Disney movie benchmark where you say like everything from this one forward is new Disney and everything from this one backward is old? Because mine used to be Beauty and the Beast. Like, Beauty and the Beast was the one that I considered like the benchmark where Disney took its wild turn, because of that's when they started using
3D
and computer animation and stuff, whereas The Little Mermaid was the last one that was done all by hand. But now I think it's Tangled.
Being the first new one.
Because they didn't we were watching Tangled this weekend, and the question came up, who did this? Pixar or DreamWorks? And I was like, wow, neither. Disney did it all in-house. It's like why it's like the third most expensive movie ever made.
Split up for a while. Yeah.
And they
had a divorce. Yeah. Pixar and Disney.
Like the Catholic Church. Yeah. And
the schism. The schism and the debate over.
Yeah. The schism and the debate over Pixar. And like Tangled, like the scenery and stuff, like the backgrounds were mostly hand done. And because they were going for like some kind of painting look.
Yeah.
Like
I really like
were going Tangled, for something not similar. Photorealistic, but still like in line with the animation. And I never noticed that.
You know, the trailer for the next Frozen came out, and I was actually just thinking of this, in that they're going to need to make a decision at some point whether or not to stylize the backgrounds, because it's getting weirder and weirder to see more and more realistic backgrounds and then really stylized people.
Yeah, I mean, having Elsa dive into the, like, watching that bit with Elsa diving into the surf, I'm like, shit, that looks so wrong.
I know. Yeah. It's like, because the ocean looks completely real, and then you're like, this is just weird.
And I think
there's a pop, what are they called? There's a Funko Pop. Being thrown into the water.
I feel like Brave and Tangled did this really well. Like they stylized.
Yeah.
Like the backgrounds matched the animation.
Yeah.
And like Emperor's New Groove and stuff like that one did it too. But yeah, you're
well,
right.
Well, yeah, because
like
the 2D ones, they always made sure it had like a cohesive look. But the 3D is kind of, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Yeah,
like, I feel like it worked with Moana just because with that more tropical scenery, it was brighter and I don't know. It felt
It still matched the animation.
Yeah, so it felt less jarring to me because it was, I mean, it was fairly realistic, but it was also just really bright and colorful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It worked in Moana, but like some of the films, and it's not just Disney that does this anymore, give me like that Archer feel where you can tell that they've used glossed over photographs for I don't know how that process works, but some of the sceneries look like they're real.
Yeah. Which is getting that's like, okay, you guys either need to start making more realistic people or you need to start making more stylized backgrounds because it's getting weird.
Hi guys, Imogen here. I just wanted to apologize for the shortness of the episode this week. A few unforeseen circumstances made us have to interrupt recording and then stop recording. So this is just a mini episode. Next week we'll be back, or in a couple of days we'll be back since this one was late. And we'd just like to say, if you have any questions for us, to send them to byebyebyecast@gmail.com. Check us out on Twitter. Have a look at our Patreon. And thanks for listening. We'll see you soon. Bye.